to Maranatha Drive on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Certainly, that's where you're at, Adventist World Radio, powered by the SID Media. This is the Maranatha Drive, the Drive Time Show, and we're here to have a conversation regarding the beauty of meekness in a proud world. Now, when you look at the dictionary, right, dictionary.com, for example, would describe meekness as docile, overly compliant, and spiritless, yielding, or even tame. And then you're like, hey, okay, that's quite a lot, right? It sounds almost negative. Maybe let's move over to a different dictionary. Merriam-Webster defines it as mild, deficient in courage, submissive, and weak. Okay, it started off quite okay, and then it went downhill right after that. Now, it is important to note that these modern-day definitions of meekness hold an immensely different meaning from the spiritual connotation that is referenced in the scriptures, right? When you look at the Bible, and that this is what we are focusing on this week, trying to demystify this concept and have it understood in our day and age's approach right there. So do join us as we chat Nomfundisi. Abiud, Pastor Andrew Peter, will be sharing his thoughts with us this week as we are trying to have a conversation regarding this particular matter. How do we become meek? I mean, meek is being described by dictionaries as something negative. How do we explore that as something that's a pursuit for people such as Christians as myself, or perhaps as you are listening to us, viewing us this afternoon, you're considering being a Christian and you're like, they're calling me to be a docile person, a submissive, a tame person, a weak person, a spiritless, yielding, and my daughter. The expletives continue in, like, degenerating, right? We want to just have a discussion about that and find out, really, what's that supposed to mean and how does it actually look like in our day and age? Joining us in conversation and leading out is going to be our pastor, Mfundisi Andrew Peary. Pastor, good afternoon and welcome.
Good afternoon. Thank you. How are you?
No, we're doing all right, Mfundisi, your side.
I am great. Thank you.
Thank you so much for taking time and making time to share with us this afternoon's, in fact, this week's space as we try
it's
and
always a pleasure. Yeah,
make sense of this important subject, which is quite confusing off the bat, especially if you're going to pick up a dictionary and try to define the terms. Hey, it's not looking good. It's not looking good.
Yeah.
We gave the dictionary definitions, Muruti. Maybe from your expertise, a scripture, what does it define meekness as?
So you'll find meekness being used, I think, interchangeably with words like humility or humble.
Okay.
I'm trying to think of another one, but I think gentleness. But really, meekness in scripture is understood as strength under control.
Strength under control.
Yes.
So it's not really this idea of simplicitude and weakness and timidness and submissiveness. It's saying it's something a bit more than that.
Far from it. So you remember in Philippians chapter 2, I believe it is, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
Who, being in the form of God, did not count it anything to be boasted about. I'm paraphrasing. So he had all the power. He had all the strength, but he kept that strength under control. So that's the picture of meekness.
You know, as you were describing it, I'm reminded of one of the scriptures says Moses was the most meek man.
Numbers 12. Yeah.
And I'm just trying to put this approach or this definition you're bringing across to application to say, when you look at Moses, I mean, he was a general, right, in the armies of Egypt. In fact, he was such a commander that he was able to kill a man with his bare hands.
Bare hands,
And then we realize him dealing with stiff-necked Israelites, the Bible would call them, and having to hold all that power in so that he doesn't murder them all in the desert.
In his anger, he would have been like, I'm finishing you all.
You know what? God, wait a minute. Let me just deal with these ones. I mean, we actually find him now being the one telling God, okay, no. Remember, these are your people. Take it easy.
Yes.
Quite fascinating. But so when you talk weakness, that would then be the polar opposite of what this is looking like. Because this, in much as the activity what we see with the eyes is the same. I mean, when you look at someone weak, he's almost like a pushover. It's somebody who is a doormat, and whatever anyone wants to do does with them because they can't do anything. And I'm just thinking what Christ asks of the church in Matthew chapter 5. When someone hits you on the cheek, turn the other one. You know, when they abuse you and say, go 3 miles, you go 4. You know, when they do these things, do more. You know, and it almost sounds like it's the same thing, but you're saying, no, actually, you can do differently, but you're reining it in.
Yes.
Wow.
You have an ability. So if you don't have ability, you're not meek. But if you have ability to do worse, and then you're reining it in, then you're meek.
So, Pastor, are we saying that the idea of meekness only works when we are reining in power to do bad things? Is that when we see this idea of meekness?
So not really. But when you're exercising self-control, then you're meek. You have an ability to do something, but you're not doing it, and you're reining it in. Then you're exercising meekness.
Okay. Is meekness a desirable attribute, particularly in this dog-eat-dog modern society?
I think it should. It should be. My mind went to a movie, and I know Seventh-day Adventists don't watch movies.
No, we only do it for research purposes.
Research. So there's someone here who researches. And so there's a movie, I can't remember exactly, I think it was a Batman movie. Uh-huh. And there was a character named Bane. Now, okay. I understand that Bane was a very powerful character. So there was a gentleman who had hired Bane's services. And he thought because he had hired Bane, he was in charge. And so he started running his mouth about
control. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
That was meekness, because all Bane had to do was put his hand on his shoulder and ask him, do you feel in charge?
Yeah.
So I think meekness should be desirable.
And I think that says power. And I like one of the words you used earlier on, self-control. Because sometimes when people possess that kind of power, the temptation is to go all out. The temptation is to really abuse and show people that, hey, you are bugs under my feet. But yet you have to coexist. I mean, that's what you started off there, right? Philippians 2, this power which is in Christ Jesus, being in the very nature God, but yet to be equaled with servants and with even to die at the cross, whereas you could have. I mean, I'm remembering a song by, I think it's Reality 7, to say, no, you know, they were swearing at him, spitting at him on the cross, and he could have come down. But because of you and I, he said, no, it's okay. I will endure this. That there is reining it in, if there is such a thing.
Yeah. And there's a text, I guess, in James chapter 4, verse 6, where God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble.
Amen.
In other versions, he gives grace to the meek.
Okay. Okay.
So you have an ability to be proud and boast, but rather you rein it in and you're humble.
How do we
God gives grace.
How do we counter, Maruti? And thank you for that. How do we counter the adverse effects, though? Because when you're humble, when you're meek, you're not trying to assert yourself. You're not trying to put yourself as number one. You're not trying to show yourself as the best and so forth. How do we counter then the culture we live in, where we find people that the ones who are chosen, the ones who are noticed, the ones who get picked for promotions and advance in life are the ones who raise their hands, the ones who even step on others, forget toes, heads to get ahead. How do we counter that when we send to our children, to our young people, to those listening in, no, be meek, rather rein in whatever it is that you possess?
So I think there's a way one can build a personal brand that is humble, but speaks to their expertise.
Okay.
So that whenever people are having conversations about the services they offer, their names come up, but they're not loud about what they do. Okay. And I see it when people are making presentations, right? Because they are those ones that are very loud, trying to boast and show off.
Okay.
And then there's those ones who are very quiet, but very attractive. You just want to be close to them because you feel like this is the kind of spirit I want to work with. So how, for me, I always go back to Genesis chapter 1, where I find who the one who created everything is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then when I realize it's God, I come to chapter 2, and I realize he's the one who gives the work assignment. So anything I do because of God. And so I cannot boast in myself, because whatever I'm able to do is because of God. And I come to Romans chapter 8,
okay,
where all things work together for good. So then I realize that everything that has happened in my life, God has brought together to make me the person I am. So I can't stand to boast, but I can then stand to praise God. Then I come to Psalm 34. Where the psalmist says that the praises of God will always be on my lips. So boasting is replaced by praising God.
Yeah.
So that's how I counter it.
I like that, Muruti, because you're saying here that our reason for being meek is not just because we are so noble and we've got meekness as a quality trait. It's actually a logical basis upon which we find ourselves resting at this space, because we understand we are nothing without God at all. We don't have anything to boast except that he is the one who raised us and brought us and did all these things for us. It doesn't just come as something again to, because I mean, we could boast about our ability to be meek, isn't it? Look at us, we're so meek.
Yes.
And yet we are saying, no, it's not about us, it's about God.
Yeah.
Sure. You remind me of a lesson a couple of years back, speaking on humility, saying, humility is a tricky concept as a Sabbath school study guide. Humility is a tricky concept. The more you think, the moment you think you have it,
you think you have it, you don't
lost
have it. Yes.
The moment you think you have it, you've lost it. And maybe let's touch on Moses. We spoke a bit about some of the challenges he faced with and how scripture speaks of him as being meek. Talk to us a bit about that as well, Muruti, and perhaps even address how we can then apply his example to our lives. It's a tough one.
So Numbers 12 is where we found that text that Moses was the most humble of the people that were on the face of the earth. He was a very strong leader. We've already mentioned it. You know, 40 years he lived in Egypt. He learned all the arts.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, I mean, he was in the family that was leading Egypt. So the things the magicians knew, Moses knew. And then he spent 40 years in the wilderness being trained by God. So he was such a strong leader, and yet he reined it in. He did not advance that. And so some of the things I see from him is that he was leading with gentleness. Not dominance, because he could have, but he did not. He was leading very gently. He would pray for those who opposed him, like you just mentioned, that he would even pray on behalf of. He would plead on their behalf before God. Then the other thing is he seems to have trusted God.
Okay.
I think those 40 years he spent in the wilderness taught him one thing or two about trusting God. And so he didn't try to defend his reputation, I think, until that one time he hit the rock twice. But he really didn't try to defend his reputation. Yeah. He really just trusted God to take care of those things for him.
We got a comment coming through saying, Moses, he wrote the scripture himself, and then he refers to himself in the scripture. Was he so meek? I mean, he's the one calling himself the most meek man in the world.
No, but he had scribes that were writing those things.
No, true. And in I think it was 2 weeks back when we started this current quarter, Mfundisi, talking about the Sabbath School Study Guide. For those perhaps who are tuning in, the Sabbath School Study Guide is a feature that comes through on live, the show that comes between 12 and 3. Just before 2:30, after 2:30 rather, you can find Naya there discussing with the guests on the Sabbath School Study Guide. So 2 weeks back, Muruti, we were talking on the appearance of Moses onto the scene. Right, as he is chosen by God, as he's a baby and surviving that genocide and so forth. And one question, I got the privilege of studying the lesson that week with the young people. And I asked them this question: why do you think God chose Moses? Right? Because something in my mind says, I don't think out of all the children being killed by Pharaoh, only Moses made it out. Reason suggests that maybe two or three or even maybe 100 others out of the thousands that were being killed.
Thousands, yeah.
Yeah, surely would have made it out. So why Moses? You know, why was he the one selected, especially after all he'd done, after all his experiences? Why him? Why not pick even, forget the children saved? Why not pick somebody from Egypt who really felt the challenges of slavery or of oppression and so forth, you know? And one thing stuck out for me, Moruti, and I wanted to just drive this home, this point home you're making, to say, meekness is not an inability to present anything tangible.
Yeah.
Right? Moses was chosen because Moses had the qualities.
Yeah.
He had trained himself and he had been that. I mean, you're speaking about how he comes from this particular family, raised and so forth. And some tradition would have it that he was being groomed to be the next Pharaoh.
Yeah.
You know? And so he's got something to bring to the party, but he's still lacking something, which God then takes him into the desert for the next 40 years to learn as well, to temper that assertiveness, that aggression with some humility and some godness and some submission and some trust, you know, like you were putting across. And I'm just driven to say, so therefore this idea of meekness doesn't say I've got nothing, therefore don't look at my corner, guys, I've got nothing so much to offer to the table, I'm just meek here. No. It says I've got something to offer. When you're meek, you must have something to offer. You can't be meek and empty. Yeah. It's not the same thing. And I think that's quite profound. And what is it, when you talk meekness, why is it considered a virtue, such a big thing? I mean, Psalm, I think it's 33, the meek shall inherit the earth. Why is it considered such a virtue in Christianity?
Because it reflects the heart of Christ.
Okay.
Jesus. It reflects the heart of Christ.
Sorry, Pastor, your line there is just dipping a bit. I don't know if you mind just moving around so we can get a better reception.
Okay. I think may be better now.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, so you're saying it reflects.
It's really that it reflects the heart of Christ, because he is God, but never counted it anything to be boasted, and so he submitted. He had power under control or strength under control. So that's why it's a Christian value or Christian virtue, because of that very idea.
Yeah. And in terms of relating with other virtues, is it like in the same group, or does it stand out as much more noble, you know, like how seek to prophesy?
So I think that it's important for us to see that all of them work together. Like the fruit of the Spirit is presented as one whole, a fruit, and yet mentioned individually. And meekness is one of those that's mentioned in the fruit of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. And someone was saying that sometimes we celebrate the gifts of the Spirit and not so much look at the fruit of the Spirit.
Okay.
So people are not meek. So they are very boastful in the gifts of the Spirit. I can prophesy. I can do this. Yet, more importantly, one needs to have the fruit of the Spirit. You know, so it's not one greater than the other, but it's great to have as a whole package.
Profound. One thing is, sadly, we'll have to leave it there for today. Any final thoughts you'd want to share?
Just that it's a beautiful thing to have. It's not harmful. It's not disappointing to be meek, to be humble. It's actually beautiful.
It is actually beautiful. I love that. Thanks, Pastor. Until we chat again tomorrow, God keep you. God bless you.
Thank you so much. God bless you too.
Amen. That's Mfundisi Phiri. They're talking to us this afternoon as we try and make sense of this idea of humility, of meekness, especially in this proud world. What value does it have, Kuthiwa? It's the beauty that it possesses.
You are tuned to Maranatha Drive on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.